white lie.
What did you say, white lies? Thoroughway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Aleph Av, the 20th of July, for Rav Moshe Batal Grosna Shlita, White Lies.
Good morning. There is a Shaila in an interesting Sefer. The Sefer is called Ugas Elio. It was written by Hagon Rebbe Elio Rasov, who was Migdole America, I think, pre-war or just after the war. I don't know exactly his history. But he wrote a Tshuva Sefer called Ugas Elio. Actually, interestingly, at the beginning of this Sefer, it says that he was on the train with his payas and his beard, and some goyim saw him there, he was learning, and they banged him over the head with his chumash, and he said that he fell down, and from that day, he couldn't remember so well his psokim, etc. He went to the doctors, they said, he's 79, we don't heal 79-year-olds. And therefore he writes, at the beginning of his Tshuva Sefer, I found it quite an interesting thing, he says, since I cannot debate anymore about my Shailas Tshuvas, I don't hold in my head properly the Shakla Vatari, therefore don't take anything as a given. Look at it yourself, decide. If it sits well with you, good. If not, just don't accept it. Because I can't vouch for it. Look upon him. He brings a very interesting Shaila. Typical, I guess, Shaila of an American Rov at that time. And the Shaila is, someone called me on the phone, and he said that on Shabbos is my last day of Avelus. Last day of Avelus. And he heard that on the last day of Avelus, you only do a little bit of Avelus. Miktas Yom Kukulo, right? They only sit for a little bit in the morning.
In a Shiva.
Yeah. This was the last day of the Shiva. It was on Shabbos. The last day of the Shiva was on Shabbos. So he asked, I heard that on the last day of the Shiva, the way is that one does only a little bit of Avelus, and then one gets up. Rabbi, is this true? Meaning, on Shabbos, it's the last day of Avelus. Do I do a little bit of Avelus and then I can get up? That was his question. Why did he want to know? Obviously, no one told him that there's no Avelus on Shabbos, but why did he want to know? Because he said, my wife's been running the business since the Avelus started. She's no good at it. I need to get back to work as soon as possible. So, Rabbi, if the Avelus ends on Shabbos, I'll do a quick Avelus on Shabbos and I go to work. That was the Shaila. So, the Rav understood very well that this person was Chomulei Hilchus Avelus Mehilchus Shabbos. Very clear. So he decided, he told the Shoyal, he said, no, they're making a mistake. American Amaratzim. Really, you have to sit on the seventh day Shiva as well the whole day. Just as a little difference. You can wear your big day Shabbos, you can wear your shoes, you can go to shul, but the halachas of Avelus, that you can't just go and work, still apply, and it's a mistake. Fine, that was the psak. I don't know if the person listened or not. That bit we're not going to know, but we understand what the Rav was trying to do. And then the Rav was thinking, maybe I did something wrong here, because Lamaisa, I said a lie. I know the halacha is that there isn't, first of all, it's Shabbos, it's Navelus, and even if there was, it was Miktas Yom Kukulai, and therefore, I said a lie, I don't know if this is an acceptable practice. Huh? Yeah, let's also think about that. Okay, fine. So, Lamaisa, I'm not going into his Shakla Vataria, he brings a few Gemaras, where you see, for instance, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Tes, where Abchiyah Abba came to some place where they were cooking something, where Goyim cooked something and the Yidden ate it. And then he never said anything. Then he came before Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, what do you mean? Go and tell them it's Bishul Akum. Now, in truth, it wasn't Bishul Akum because it wasn't Oilah Shulchan Malachim. However, they're not B'nai Torah. They're not going to make differences. And if they eat this from Goyim, they'll eat something else from Goyim. Therefore, just tell them it's all Osa. What do you mean? It's not true. The answer is, it seems to uphold the Torah. Sometimes one is allowed to say something slightly off. Besides for that, there is opinions that if you don't say something slightly off, and you are maybe over lifnei iver, that you have the person in front of you, you have a way of stopping him from doing the issa chamul, maybe you're doing a lifnei iver. The question really is, he's doing something wrong. Why do I have to be over an issa to save him? This is always it's a sugya in Shabbos. This is the question on the side. But let me just go through a few cases, other cases where this comes up. There was, historically in the 1700s, I've spoken about this here before, there was a time in history where the Goyim wanted that you're not allowed to bury a mace for 3 days. Why? Maybe he'll spring back to life. You know, you ever heard of the freak story that they came out, they were still alive. It happens once in a blue moon, but because of that they wanted to change everything. Everyone only after 3 days. And you can imagine the Eden put up a storm against it. But there was one person advocating for it. His name, I don't know if it should be mentioned in the Beis HaMedrash, Mendelssohn. So he actually has three tshuvas to the Yavetz. It's in Shilas Yavetz. It wasn't yet known to be the koifer that he was. Three Shilas of the Yavetz, trying to press the Yavetz to agree that we shouldn't do burial for 3 days. The Yavetz in each tshuva tells him, you're wrong. And the third tshuva already snaps. He's a Talmud of the Yavetz. He snapped and he said, you are trying to, overturn Minhogei Yisrael and Halachos of Klal Yisrael. And I heard that you're Megadol Kelev Rabba Beisecho, meaning I've heard bad rumors about you, that you've got some new opinions and shit is formulating, and therefore just stop it. I know what you're trying to do. It's Osa and finished. Now, Nechazon Sofer writes to the Marat Tzchius. Marat Tzchius wrote an essay about this Halach of the burial. And in it, he was maybe mekel a bit. You know, how chomu is it to wait a day with kvura? The Marat Tzchius was a little bit mekel. So Chasam Sofer writes to him, you shouldn't write kulos or that's drabonon. You should write this deraisa and you should put it very, very stringent so that everyone should see and fight for it correctly. So the Marat Tzchius says, how could I write about something that's drabonon, that's deraisa? How could I write such a thing? What's the question? In this week's Sedra, it says, lo yisoy sifu ala dovo asher noichi mitzava eschem. You shouldn't add to the mitzvahs, but lo sigru mimenu, you shouldn't take away. And the Rambam Mehilchos Mamrim asks the question, how could the Rabbonon ever make any Drabonons? It's Baal Toysif. Now, we know there's psukim that allows the Rabbonon to make the Rabbonon, but on the other hand, that is Baal Toysif. That's Mamash Baal Toysif. Says the Rambam, it's not. Baal Toysif is to take the Deraisa, Tariag Mitzvahs, and say there's more than Tariag Mitzvahs. The Rabbonon never said that there's more than 613. They said there's rabbinic decrees, the biblical decrees, the deraisas stay deraisas, we're just making drabonons. The is would be to take a drabonon and to ram it down the master's throat and say, it's deraisa, you have to do it, it's deraisa. That's the deraisa of Baal Tosif. That's the shittas aramah. So, says the Marat Tzchius, how can you tell me to write about halonas mesim, that it's deraisa if I hold this drabonon? I would be over Baal Tosif. It's true. It would save the Chasam Sofer held, you should write to the writer because it will save the masses from some sort of chilul in this halacha. And he said, how can I? I'm over Baal Tosif. Lemaisa, Chasam Sofer, in this case, wasn't neged the Rambam anyway, because Chasam Sofer says there are opinions it's the writer. So rather than pin yourself on the opinions it's the Rabbanon, pin yourself on the opinions it's the writer. Baal Kapon, yeah.
Sorry, I've heard this before. I believe the reason the Goyim made this particular decree at the time was people were being buried when they were still alive.
Yes, but as you know, it's like, people get all nervous about the news, right? Something happened, they hide under the cover for a week. Why? Why? To a billion people it didn't happen, but to one person it happened. But our way is to clock into something that's going to get us nervous. Same thing, this is nonsense, right? Yes, one person came out of his cave alive. All right, but normally the feather, there's halachas, I had to check, and they don't come out alive. To start turning the whole world over for the freak incident is normally because of kfira, or because you need to make the news, etc., and therefore you turn this into the normal. But it's not the normal, and it's the way of our society today very much, that we turn the not normal things into normal, and if you say it's not normal, you're not normal. Vahamev and Yovan on each of these cases. So it's just normally rooted in kfira, and Deus Kozus, yeah.
What you said was that the Maritz Chais was worried about Baal Tosif.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about lying, about the Sheker.
Yeah, Bar Tosif maybe is more chomo, because it's a mafurish, it's a sheker, might be only in Bezli. There's a lot of raid on sheker, exactly what sheker. So yeah, maybe he hears also the svara of helping the masses.
That's
is okay.
Your subject. I'm just
yeah. It's coming in because of that, but that was the issa he was more bothered about. Yeah. Okay. Another case. Some people will like this one. Some people won't. Is I mentioned this also in Torah once upon a time. So if you remember, you can say it for us. The Ben Ishrai in Torah Lishmo Simashin Ein Aleph has the following shai. Midaraisa. Only the ben is Yorush, the son is Yorush. However, the practice is, and maybe it's even a takona, that people give their daughters as well. But there was one such case where the father did not give the daughter, he only gave the sons. So halacha l'maisa, it goes to the sons. What they want to do, if they want to share, it's up to them. But halacha l'maisa, that's how it goes. Now, the daughter wasn't very happy, so she went to court. And whether there wasn't a tzavo, I don't know exactly the details. She went to court, and if she'd go to court, she's going to get a nice sum of money. Now, these children came to the Ben Ishrai, if the shaila ever happened. Torah Lishmo might be one of those shailas tshuvas where he made the shailas. The Trumas Hadeshen is well known. His sefer is almost every siman in Shulchan Aruch has a Trumas Hadeshen sefer. But he actually, I saw once, he says he never actually had these shailas often. He made the shailas up in order to bring out the halacha l'maisa. So,
does he write Nishalti?
By Torah Lishmo?
Yeah.
Torah Lishmo is a whole balagan about the Torah Lishmo, because he never put his name to it even. There's only Ramazim that tell us that we know that it's the Ben Ishrai. So Mamela, I think they talk about that sefer as being more of a theoretical than actually happened. I think I once saw such a
thing. Also be a shekel.
Yeah, there you go. Well, not a shekel, just anonymous. Yeah. They say that once the Rav Shalom Shadron went to the Chazon Ish, and he asked, "Am I allowed to say stories that aren't exactly true?" So the Chazon Ish said, "Yeah, I'd rather to give you a Shemaim." And he said, "That's the first story." Yeah. Meaning, I don't think that ever happened. That's what they say. So, yeah. There is a Shaila. There is a written about Shaila. Can you say stories? You know, a lot of the stories have either made up, or if they're not made up, they have details in order to make it exciting that are made up. So these are topics that are talked about and not on one foot. So anyway, the Torah Lishmo has the following Shaila. This girl went to court and she wants to win and get part of the Arusha. So the brothers asked the Ben Ishrai, can we make a fake tzavo? You know, we'll make with the tea bags, we'll make it nice and old, etc. Get some old parchment. Can we make a fake tzavo and make it clear that the father gave the Arusha only to us? Says the Ben Ishrai, Mutter, ve'im b'zeh chashash sheke. There's no chashash sheke. Like Chazal say, Meshanim b'nei darkei sholem, and there's nothing more peaceful than upholding the Torah. Memela, you're allowed to lie. And he brings various Chazals where they did such things. So yesterday, I bumped into Shailas Hatshuvos Chelkas Yaakov Chelik Dalet Simchov Gimel. That's a Breish, our Beis Din of Zurich. So he has the following Shaila. He has a Balabos, one of his Kehillah. Yerei Shamayim, good yid, and he has shutfim. And the shutfim got him into business that gets you in trouble. He was betmimus, he says he was mamash, he was a shoygek, he didn't know how many laws he was being over and how severe the punishment would be. But basically, he succumbed to the temptation of his shutfim telling him, we've got to do this venture. And he did the venture and he got arrested. And he's standing before a prison sentence, which is stamot gishmak, besides, for it'll be a bittul of many mitzvahs. And his question is he allowed to give shoychad, is he allowed to bribe the judge of the non-Jewish court? Right?
Okay, Switzerland.
Sorry?
Switzerland.
The Swiss vaults aren't empty for a reason. They also like money. Okay, so that was the shaila. So, Reb Reish says, not only you can, there's a mitzvah. And people should help towards the money of paying this shoichat. Why? Because it's Mavun Chazal that a shoifet goy is not merachem on Yisrael. Besides, we know Esav Soines Yaakov, they might not bring it out in the open, but when they have the opportunity, and there's swara behind what they're saying, what did I do wrong? I just judged the case. Then the Esav Soines Yaakov will come out. Therefore, when you give shoichat, you're not creating a lie. What you're doing is you're bringing him back to the middle. Because, you see, we're not talking about asking the judge to be over on halacha of the goyim. We're asking him, here we have someone that I know did it betumimus, he didn't realize, it's a shoygig. So in such cases, there is mokum for a strict judge and a lenient judge. We're not talking about taking money from Ploimi and clearly giving it to someone else. That would be giving shoychad to do something wrong. Here, we're talking about someone, be judgmental of this person, in a be lenient on him, realize he was naive. I'm not going to do that, he broke the law. No. So there, we try and tilt the balance, the Esav Soines Yaakov, etc., and the importance of upholding the ethics and all the rest of it, we try and tilt him a bit to be a merachem. And therefore, the shoychad is mutter. That's what he says. Now, the Ramban in Parshas VeYishlach actually says that part of the dinim of Bnei Noach is there's an issa for a goyish judge to take a bribery. And it's chayav misa if he takes bribery. It's chayav misa if he takes bribery. So how can we be machshel? Okay, we said a nice svar, but how can we be machshel him to take bribery? There's lifnei iver even in such cases. If he has hilchos Bnei Noach not to take a bribery and you're giving him this shoychav, lifnei iver, and you're making the goy chayav misa. So Shoel HaMeishiv has this question in Madura Kama Chedek Aleph Siman Tov Lamed, and he says there's no issa in taking for a goyish judge to take a bribe. The issa is the hatoyas hamishpot, the ramification, the outcome of this bribe. If he takes a bribe, he's likely to go against the laws. And that is what the issa of the goyish judge taking a bribe is. That he shouldn't make a crooked judgment. So again, if the case was that we're giving him a bribe in order to take money from Ploini, to give to Ploini, that would be making the judgment crooked. That would be an issa of lifnei iver, and the judge would be chayav misa if he takes such a bribe. And won't be allowed to get such a bribe. However, says the Shoel HaMeishiv, when it's something that's not hatoyas hamishpat, it's not going to make the judgment crooked. It's just going to allow the judge to decide if I'm going to be a merachem or an achzori, which naturally he would take on to be achzori if there were reasons to be on a yid, especially if it's a sigori or whatever, then we level it out with this shoychat. Besides, this is probably really the undercurrent of the whole tshuva, besides, says the Shoel HaMeishiv, the Yid L'maisha is going to languish in prison, it's going to be vatal many mitzvahs, we have to weigh things up, and maybe sometimes one has to be over the little issa in order to uphold many other things. And he says, the Mishnah Melech, and Hilchos Melva V'loiva says, that the issa of giving a michshel to a goy is a small issa klape other isurim. And Mamela, again, here we see that there's a balance, there's a scales, and there's a cheshbon to make of what's right and what's wrong sometimes. The Chasam Sofer, in his Truvas, he also brings it's also to give bribery to a goyish judge. But in it he says, if it's a case of a yid against the goy, and you know it's most likely that the judge will favour, without saying things, you know, with enough law behind him, he'll favour the goy because it's of his own nation, then again, to tilt the balance, the Chasam Sofer says, you're allowed to give shoychad. But he said, right, that's what he says. Now, the Shelis Yaakov, that's the Yivetz, he has a Shaila, in Chelik Beis Siman Tes. There's a story behind the Shaila, I'll tell you the story. The story is, the Yivetz had his own Beis HaMedrash in, where was that? It wasn't Hamburg, it was the Aleph Hevov, Altona. Yeah, in Altona, he had his own little Beis HaMedrash in his house. The Rav allowed, in those days you used to have one big shul, and then he had a little Beis HaMedrash, which the Rav allowed. There was a time that people were ma'ara on his base of Medrash, and they decided everyone has to come to the big shul. He was very upset about it, because in the big shul, there's the shmuzing oilam, and there's all different sorts of oilam, and that he wanted his shul where it'd be a serious minion, just a select few. In this minion of his, he had a Ger Tzedek, who was very, very frum, and he joined the minion of the Yavetz because he didn't like the goings-on in the big shul. They all had to go to the shul, so they went to the shul. Someone came into the shul, I think it was on Yom Tov, with a cigarette and was smoking in front of everyone while they were davening. So the Ger went up to him and said, it's not covered by some Medrash, and he, you know, it's Moicha. This person was very angry, who are you to tell me? He took out a knife and he stabbed him. And he died, it took him like 7 days to die, it says. I think he says in the Tshuva, I haven't checked out this time, that he was even Moichel, the person that killed him. What happened was, the Goyim got involved, this was a police matter, and the person was Oymed to be killed as a murderer. So he got upsak, people got upsak to swear in the court that it wasn't him. It was someone else, and they don't know who. It wasn't him. So the Yavet says, how dare they? It's a shvur sheker. Besides, he says, in this case, I don't want you to swear and to say lies in order to save someone's life. Why not? Because it's Chayim Misa. He's a murderer. There's two Aiden. He's Taka Chayim Misa. It's true we don't do Dalad Misas, but it says, Loi Botlu, Hashem sends them. No, the Goisha court will be the Dalad Misas, and Mamela, allow him to die. Noch say a Shvur Sheker to save him. That's what the Yavetz says. He then suggests that maybe not, because he did tshuva, he asked Mechila, and he did some tshuva, he was obviously a big kasson, and he lost it, but he did tshuva, and it's true, Bezdin don't accept tshuva. You know, if you come before Bezdin, there's no such thing as tshuva. But today, the din is din shemaim. So although it's coming down as the Dalad Mises Bezdin, but it's doch din shemaim, and in that way we're lucky that there's such a thing as tshuva. And Mamela, maybe we shouldn't allow the court to uphold.
You're killing somebody.
Oh, there is such a thing. Look at me. There is. There must be. There's tshuva on everything. You're right. But there's tshuva on everything. Lamaisa, there's tshuva on everything. But I'm not going to say you're wrong. We're going to get there. I'm saying, but Mesir Shoshan grapples with your question. How can you do tshuva after you killed someone? He's dead. It's something you can't bring back. In truth, every avera, whatever you've done, is dead. Really. If you think about it, right? Just we see murder as extreme. There's nothing really that you could pull back. What was done was done. So the whole thing of tshuva is a chiddush. But it's true, the Mesir Shoshan grapples with Hariga more than anything else. Anyway, so he says maybe tshuva should help, and Mamela we should say some sheker to save him from the courts. But he and Tosus and Ksubis brings that it could be on the Dalad Mises today tshuva helps. And that might be an answer. You know, the Gemara talks about if we do a sin, then we have to bring it. You have to write down in your pinkus that I'm going to bring when Mashiach comes a chatos or whatever. The mitzvah, it's not so clear. Yeah, we're not all writing down. I mean, maybe it's a reason, but we're not all writing down. We did this, we're going to bring this chatos, we did it. Why not? So some say you're meant to, I don't know. But others will say that there's tshuva today. Meaning, when there's a Beis HaMikdosh and there's clarity and you do a sin, then there's a chatos. Today there isn't a Beis HaMikdosh. There isn't clarity. Sin is more likely. And tshuva is also an option because it's not so brazen and such a chilul shmoyiz barach, because we didn't do it in front of a Beis HaMikdosh, in front of Nissen. The Ma'bit says such a type thing. So too, on the Dalad Mises, there is such a thing as tshuva. However, says the Yavetz, that legabe rotzeach, I have many rayas that the Dalad Mises of Ayom of today applies, and there's no other way other than al da tuft. He killed, he gets killed. There's no other way, like you said. There's no way out of by Ritzach, his kapora is his misa. And Mamela, he says, they should not save him, besides it's the Shvur Sheker, and it's not allowed.
Would it have been different if you hadn't had Jewish aidim who actually saw him?
Yeah, I think it would be different, because in Bezdin they wouldn't kill him either. So yeah, it would be different. Now, actually the Chasam Sofer has, in his tshuva that we spoke about before, about giving shoicha to a judge, he says there that You're allowed to give shochet to the judge in order to tilt the balance. He's going to favor the goy, so you tilt the balance. But if it's normal law, it's an issur to give shochet to the judge because lifneiva, he has to judge according to the laws and not break any of the laws. Says Chasam Sofer, however, if someone is being killed by a goyish court, and it's because he's chayav misa, according to the goyish court, or maybe even according to Yiddishkeit, you have to give shochet and save him. Why? Said because it's impossible for the goyish court to have a right to be machayev misa eid. You need edim, you need asro, you need the kosher judges. Is that you can't just be machayev misa eid. There's halachas have to be machayev misa. And Mamela, since it's not a pidin, it's a vaiti, you're allowed to do shochet to save him. So he seems to not agree to the ayvets, right? Because even if there were two edim, was there asro? Is there the halachas of, you know, bezdina, vetzilu eidah, there's halachas that they're mahapach l'schut. It's not so simple to kill a person. It says, doch, when did they kill a yid? Once in every 70 years or something? Otherwise, we're called a bezdin katlonis. And Mamela, it's not so simple, the halacha l'maisa. And it's also brought in Yoredea and Simeration on base. There's a whole halach yelich there. If someone's going to be killed in the Goshe courts, to pidyon shvuim, to collect money, to save him, etc. So you do see, sometimes, we ma'avis the din, if it's not a pidyon Torah. The Divrei Yoel, yes, but it's brought in the. It's brought in the poskim. Din machus din is legabe certain things. Legabe how to run that everyone's the money should run, etc. But lav dafka ala gufim and things like this. There's a lot of raid. I once saw a tshuva from the Chelkis Yaakov about. I think I spoke about it once here about someone that was after the war. There were a lot of mamzerim due to marriages quickly without making cheshbonis that the husbands were still alive. So they wanted to be, since it was a matzav aguna, it wasn't avera de kamatzav, they wanted to be matter them to marry avodim, and that way the children become gerim, etc. What do you mean? It's not legal here to have an evet. It's not legal. So the din of machus adina is not on everything. Yeah. First of all, he says you can make an evet say I want to be an evet, and then although the law says you can't, but if you really want to be, the law would agree. Just the law can't agree because we can't talk about individuals, etc. But he then goes into chilukim of when we say din machus adina. I don't know the halacha l'maisa, so and obviously so you can't practice these things without a rabbi. But the Divrei Yoel says an interesting thing. He says v'yish amdal avisein v'lanu shloyachet b'vod amud aleinu l'chalaseinu v'kadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodom. So he says what saved us in all the generations of many enemies. Kadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyodom mitahent. Dova hanitzen miyad liyad. Chol dover doyer. That's one of the mahalchim. We learn from Yaakov Avinu with the press, with the present.